Welcome to On Being Happier, Thinking with Heart and Mind, a podcast dedicated to the idea that full human thinking balances the heart's warmth and love with the mind's intellectual capacities. We naturally think with our hearts wherever we care the most, whether with our family, with our friends, or even with our pets. Language reminds us of the importance of the heart, not putting our heart into something or doing something half-heartedly means we didn't do it well. And to be called heartless is not a compliment. Hi, my name is Ron Schneebaum. I'm a pediatrician, and for the past 14 years, I worked at the outpatient arm of the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth and served on the clinical faculty at Dartmouth College's School of Medicine. After a 40-year career as a physician, a career I thoroughly enjoyed, I retired to dedicate my full time to teaching the fruits of what I learned through my practice and my personal life. As we increasingly think with our hearts as well as with our minds, we'll discover that we found a way to be happier than most people imagine possible. The ideas in this podcast are based on common sense and practical experience. They require no special belief system or practice. Each episode provides a different aspect of thinking with heart and mind. Together, I hope they present a full picture. I accept no advertising for this podcast, and I make no money from it. It is my way of giving back. Because of your sharing, this podcast is listened to worldwide. I am so grateful. The ideas in this podcast are my own, and the stories have been changed to protect privacy. These episodes are not a substitute for medical advice. If you are dealing with significant psychological issues, please seek professional help. I thank you so much for joining this growing community. All my very best and be well, Ron. Episode 24, Mental Well-Being with Heart and Mind, Part 1 of 2. Jose came to my office for his yearly physical. I had seen him during that previous summer, and he said that this year he was going to work as hard as he could in school, something that he hadn't done before. I asked how that was going when he came in for his physical, and he said he was doing so much better than he even imagined, except English. I asked about that and said, "What's going on in English?" He said, "I'm failing." "Oh, why is that?" And he said, "It's the teacher. He can't stand her." I asked what happened, and he told me that he had an English assignment to write a paper, and he worked on this paper in a way that he'd never had before. And he felt that when he handed it in, the teacher barely looked at it and said, "This isn't good enough. Do it again." He thought she really didn't like him and was picking on him, but he decided that he'd redo the paper anyway. So he reworked the paper, and the second time he handed it in, he said the same thing happened. He said that he had enough. He stopped working in the course, and he was now failing. Melissa, a 17-year-old, also came in for her yearly physical. I had known her for years, and she looked better and more bright-eyed than I had seen in a very long while. She was being treated for depression, and she just looked different. To check to see if I was right, I said, "Melissa, you're looking great. Are you feeling better?" And she said, "Yes." I asked what happened. She was with her mother, and the two of them are close, and they both laughed when she said, "I dumped my boyfriend." "You mean this boyfriend you've been with for the past several years is what's brought you down so much?" And she said, "Yes." These two stories lay the groundwork for mental well-being with heart and mind. We need to cover some territory before I can review how this is the case. Heart-based thinking begins with love, for love is the doorway that allows us to experience another's viewpoint when they're in a particular situation. The heart then thinks, how do we offer love? How do we offer healing? How do we solve this problem? When we turn this kind of thinking inward, then it's a form of self-healing. When we think with our minds, we intellectually analyze the problem at hand. In looking at the question of mental well-being, there are two different roots that determine how we feel about ourselves. One has to do with our success in the outer world. Whether it's our practical responsibilities, our events of everyday life, or our relationships, if we do well in them, as defined by our own sense of doing well in them, we'll feel good about ourselves. The second way we feel good about ourselves has to do with our very essence, not with the fact that we achieve, but the fact that we are. As I think about this more deeply, that sense of well-being has to do with whether we feel worthy of being loved and if we feel that we are indeed loved. If we do, we'll feel strong and we'll feel good. In addition, our thoughts about the world and our actions in it are different if we feel loved than if we don't. This episode will review how we can use heart and mind to be more effective in the world. The second episode of this two-part series will look at how we can build this inner core, this sense of feeling deserving of being loved and of feeling loved, and we will see how we can do this independent of our childhood experiences. The body's clotting system provides an analogy that will help us understand how we can look at this practical aspect of mental well-being. Our clotting system consists of three different parts. The first is the skin. We don't normally think of this as part of our clotting system, but here we use it because it helps to keep our bodies intact. The second part of our clotting system are those factors that allow clots to form if we have a cut, a bruise, or a scrape. That we're different than a plastic jug that's filled with water that has a small cut or hole on the bottom of it. In that case, the water will leave the bottle until there's none left. We don't do that. We have a protective mechanism that stops bleeding. The third aspect of our clotting system prevents clots from forming. This part works within the bloodstream. It's one thing to have a clot form when we have a cut or a scrape, but within our bloodstream, we don't want to have clots. If we do have a clot within the bloodstream, that stops blood from flowing beyond that point, and the tissue behind it will starve, not getting food and oxygen. That tissue dies unless new blood vessels are developed. When this happens in the brain, we call it a stroke. Our hearts and minds working together are the perfect combination for protecting us from having serious mental injuries. They are also the perfect tools that we have for healing problems if they do develop. Jose and Melissa's stories can help us understand the analogy of the clotting system and how that fits in with helping our mental well-being to be stronger. In Jose's case, for example, he took what his teacher said personally, and it devastated him. If his heart and mind acted like this skin and protected him, he could have said, "My teacher has an attitude, she's a jerk, but she's commenting on my English, and there she has some reasonable authority. So if I can get past my feelings about her and work anyway, then I can learn from her and I can become a better English student." He didn't do that. Instead, he took what she said personally, and when our inner core gets attacked, we get devastated. It shuts down just like that inner clot. So with his feeling attacked, he shut down. He didn't work in the course anymore, and he failed. Obviously, in these examples, I'm not criticizing Jose or Melissa. I'm using what happened with them to make a point. Melissa sensed that she was in a miserable situation. She could experience that, but she wasn't able to say to herself, "I feel this, why do I feel it, and what can I do to make it better?" There, with her heart and mind, she could have realized that her initial reasons for being in this situation were no longer valid. She might have seen something that she loved, but instead, the negative attributes of this guy dragged her down. And she didn't need that. She could find good relationship. She could take it a step further. And using her heart and mind, she could perform kind of an exit survey. She could take a look and see how early in the relationship did she notice that things weren't going well. She could then look to see what was it that kept her there despite feeling that, because anything she learned in that way would help to protect her from having future relationships that are similar. She also could develop kind of antennae so that if she saw in a future relationship that things weren't going well, she could stop the relationship before it caused her to be depressed. We meet the same challenges in our everyday life. Some of us can take outer events personally, and this makes it hard to complete these events or hard to even face them because we feel something personal about it. We also can be in relationships that aren't nurturing and stay there for reasons that need some digging. We can do this digging either on our own or with the help of a mental health professional. Further, as suggested with Melissa, we could look to see how we got into such a relationship and what we can do to protect ourselves from getting into such a relationship again. So with heart and mind acting like the clotting system, at one level, they act like the skin. When they work well together, they can protect us from having wounds that penetrate deeply. If we then discover we have such a wound, we can use our heart and mind to see how we can clean it up and how we can even protect ourselves from future similar situations. When I develop this podcast, I develop it not only to share thoughts that I have, but to also give interested listeners tools to use to help them incorporate these ideas into their everyday lives. So in this episode, there are two exercises. The first has to do with looking at our own lives. Do we have a tendency to take outer difficulties personally? Do we have any old wounds and scars because of that? We can then even go further and look at how to heal them. The second part is to say, do we have parallels to Melissa where we get into relationships that aren't nurturing for us? There we can look at why, and we can also look at how we can prevent these from happening in the future. I'm very excited about the second season of this podcast. If you're listening to the first season, welcome back. I will be present on various social media channels. I will be developing a YouTube station, a presence on TikTok and on Instagram, and I have a Facebook page. All of these can be reached by searching On Being Happier. The work that I will do in these other social media outlets will look at the same issue of being happier, only from multiple different angles. It won't be the same as the work developed in this podcast. I'm so glad that you're with me on this journey. I look forward to seeing you in these other social media settings. Please join me there. If you have any comments or suggestions, let me know. I look forward to making this your podcast, so topics that you're interested in will be the ones that get developed. If you like this and find it valuable or helpful, please share it. Share with anybody who you think would be interested. Subscribe to it or follow the podcast. That way, you'll know about them as they drop. With the time that I have now to dedicate to the podcast, I hope to stick to an every 2-week schedule. I look forward to our next time. Until then, I wish you all my very best and be well, Ron.